So a few months ago, I downloaded an app to my phone that periodically sends little messages that pop up on my watch. The messages are reminders to stop whatever I'm doing for just a moment and to take a larger perspective. They say things like, "I am not my thoughts," and "I'm grateful for all that I have." My favorite of these messages, though, is the one that asks, "Am I having fun?" This message has popped up when I am doing indisputably fun things, like having lunch with a friend or playing with my dog on the beach or enjoying the sunset. But it has also appeared when I have been deep in a board meeting when we were discussing the subtleties of a particular congregational policy and trying to make a difficult decision, or frantically trying to catch up on my email between meetings. And one time it popped up when I was on all fours cleaning up the rug after my dog vomited. But since I chose that particular question to ask myself as a spiritual practice, I try to stay with it no matter what is going on. The question, "Am I having fun?" is an invitation to reimagine and reexamine my interpretations of a situation and take a broader or a higher perspective. It invites me to zoom out, to gain a soul-level perspective. The way I understand it and the way I talk about it is that the ego is the part of our mind that we usually put in charge of making meaning of things. It's the interpreter and the judge. It's this lower self that interprets the events and situations of our day-to-day lives and decides what they mean. It's the ego that comes to the conclusion that the guy in the BMW who just cut you off did so because he is an entitled jerk who doesn't care about anybody but himself. Or maybe it's the part of you that decides that that look on your boss's face means that she's probably disappointed with you and your work and planning to fire you. The problem is that the nature of the ego, this interpreter, is fear. It's constantly on the lookout for threats of any kind, and which makes it a very unreliable source of information about what is actually happening. The meaning that the ego creates about any given situation usually serves to reinforce its own fear-based beliefs in lack and limitation. It could be that the guy just didn't see your car when he cut over, and it was an honest mistake that we all make from time to time. And that look on your boss's face might be just because she was remembering something that she forgot to do. Setting these different thoughts and questions to pop up on my watch periodically is a spiritual practice meant to help me disrupt and reframe my ego's interpretations. They help me to rise above my automatic responses and remind me that I can choose to understand the meaning of the events of my day differently. Of all of the messages that I get, the question, "Am I having fun?" is the most deeply disruptive to my habits of thought because of my particular personality. I have been studying the Enneagram now for several years, and it's a personality typing system that categorizes people into 9 different types. And I am a type 7. Type 7 is called the enthusiast. People who are 7s tend to keep busy and look outside of ourselves for fun experiences that serve to help keep our anxiety and any negative feelings out of conscious awareness. So for me, as a 7, for me to move in the direction of health means to stop skipping along the surface of my life and really sink my awareness into my immediate experience. So asking myself to consider whether or not I'm having fun in any given situation brings me into the present moment so that I can live more deeply and see reality with more clarity. Ironically, becoming present, even when I have deemed the present moment as an unpleasant one, is the route to peacefulness for me. Now, other personality types have different ego orientations. So the ones among us are driven by a clear sense of right and wrong. They are perfectionists who want to do what is right in the right way and have little tolerance for making mistakes. Their basic fear is of being corrupted or evil. People who are type twos are friendly and generous and helpful. Their ego fear is of being unwanted or unworthy, and so to calm those fears, they seek out opportunities to be needed. Type three people are success-oriented, and they tend to be attractive and charming and energetic high achievers. Their sense of self-worth is derived from being admired by others, and so they will put on a mask of competence, even as they are secretly trembling with self-doubt behind it. So I'm not going to go through all of the types, but you get the idea. If you're interested in knowing more about the Enneagram, or you do know about it and are interested in talking about it, let me know after the service. Some folks came up to me after the first service, and there might be enough of us to get together and talk about it. Our egos work to defend and protect us from our own deepest fears. No matter our personality type, our particular fears become the filter through which we experience the world. These ego filters, they limit, they narrow, and they cloud over our perspective so that we actually can't see very clearly. They all remove us in one way or another from the truth, which is our inherent worthiness, right, and lovability. So no matter what direction your personality takes you away from that truth, the common corrective is restoring a more accurate perspective. By seeing the relationship you actually have with the people around you instead of the distorted version that your ego has you thinking that you have, that process is very liberating. The route to health for every type, for every person, is to become more fully present. To check out your ego's interpretations with others, get a reality check. To broaden your perspective so that you can see reality more clearly and live more freely without the filters of your fears fogging you up. And that's why I like this particular app. In the board meeting, when that question appeared on my watch, I got very present. And I thought carefully about each of the people in that room. I saw their warmth and their humor and their dedication to this congregation, and their vulnerability, what I know about each of them. And then I zoomed out and I saw this particular time in my life in the greater context. This amazing period of time when I am the minister here at UUFSD and I get to work with all of you lovely people. My heart got all warm and fuzzy right there in the middle of that policy discussion. And when I was cleaning up the rug after our dog, and the question popped up, I thought about how much I love her, how much joy that she has brought to Chris's and my life over the past 12 years. And I let myself sink into the sadness of knowing that we're not going to have her for about many more years. And I will miss her terribly when she's gone. In that broader context, even the more disgusting aspects of taking care of our sweet dog became a joy. So as you go about living your life, I invite you to pay particular attention to how the ego interprets the events and relationship dynamics for you. Maybe you can also create a spiritual practice for yourself to help you correct your ego's natural tendencies and move yourself in the direction of health and into truth. I know that when we are fully in truth, we are liberated from the fears of the ego. We realize with great joy that we are fundamentally good and worthy of unconditional love. So may it be so in your life. Amen and blessed be.